Hey, thanks for joining us. You're listening to Living Fountains with Pastor Jim Stewart of Calvary Chapel, Kansas City. Today, our study is in the book of Acts. If you're in a place to grab your Bible and follow along with us, we invite you to do so. And if you'd like more information on Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, you can visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. Now, let's join Pastor Jim for today's study.
If you were Paul, would you get freaked out? You know, the thought is would you get freaked out? Wow, man, everywhere I go, I'm getting this kind of a, you know, intense word from the Lord about what's coming, what things are going to be like, how things are going to go down. Now, Agabus shows up, you know, he's kind of a weird guy anyway, maybe, or he's different, but he seems to be pretty on target, you know, as far as this kind of stuff goes. And now he's got taken my belt, you know, it's like a robe belt type thing. And you know, he kind of binds himself up and says, yeah, so the guy who owns this, man, this is what's going to come down the pipe for him. So, you know, now, Paul here is hearing this, you know, yes, there's danger. Yes, this is coming. Now the human side of this, go with me on this, brothers and sisters, because the human side of this is taking one angle of this, okay? They're interpreting this as, hey, better not go. Granted, some of these guys are traveling with him, okay? So granted, so we got to factor that in, because this is all a word picture that we're reading here, an adventure, a journey in the gospel with the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit's leading. Well, I thought the Holy Spirit just led me in just the right way so that I was protected and all this and that. Well, maybe not always in that sense. The suffering can be very real for the believer. And oftentimes we've spent our lifetime building insulation, and we think that's our Western mentality. We think that's what it's all about. That's not really what the Bible teaches. And we just have to accept that. That's not really what the Bible teaches. And so we have to kind of be biblical perspective, not just Western or world perspective. We have to have a biblical perspective of our lives and our world around us. The Holy Spirit says, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. Now, I would start getting a little bit uncomfortable about all this, whether I was Paul or just hanging out with him. I think, this is not looking good. You know, there's going to be some nasty... Think about it. Luke is a doctor. He's already been hanging out with him when all this other stuff. They had to... Oh, Paul, we can't... I know you want to go in at Ephesus. You want to go into the whole arena out there and just... There's a mass of people. Of course, they all want to kill you. But you want to go into the middle of these people and testify about Jesus Christ. Noble, great thought, but I don't think we're going to do it today. You know, type thing. You know, so there was a lot of things that went on. And he yielded in some of these events, didn't he? He had discernment about the direction. There is safety in the multitude of counsel, but we've got to listen to the voice of the Lord. We need to hear from God. We want the counsel of brothers and sisters, yes, but we need to hear from God. It's very important that we hear from God. There's all kinds of facets to this as we break it down. Let's get into it a little further. So, now, when we had heard these things, both we and those from that place, so the people hanging out at Caesarea there, Philip's pad, they're just kind of hanging out. They're just, ooh, wow, man. You know, and the guys traveling with them going, ooh, gee, I don't know. And they said, from those, all the people that were there pleaded with them not to go to Jerusalem. Said, man, dude, this looks bad. This is not looking like it's going to be a good trip, you know? Everywhere we turn, you know, this something's coming down, everything that goes on. Welcome to Christianity, brothers and sisters. Really? People come up and say, well, Jim, you won't believe what happened, and this happened, and that happened, that went down. That. I said, yeah, that's crazy, man. And I know sometimes it's a struggle, but it's okay that it's a struggle. God's got a purpose. Whose race are you in? You see, we jumped on, and we're in a race. And the Lord's put this before you, before me. Our journey is before us. My only concern is that we stay on the journey, stay on the path. This is what I like as we kind of wrap up this morning's thoughts. Verse 13, then Paul answered. This is Paul's response. Granted, these guys are pleading. I'm sure I would have been the guy crying. I would have had tears running down my face. Dude, I don't think we ought to do this. Partially concerned for him and very concerned for myself, probably. But I would have been a bit alarmed, okay? And looking at the situation, no, don't, you know, we really probably ought not to do this. But this is Paul's response in verse 13. What do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? Basically, he's just saying, you're killing me. You know, you guys, you're killing me. What do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? He goes, for him, he's torn up that they're going to be grieved about this. But this is what he says. He says, for I am ready not only to be bound. This is a guy that's been in and out of jail for the sake of the gospel. This is a guy that's been beaten, whipped. All kinds of things have happened to this guy for the sake of the gospel. And he says, I'm not only ready to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. You see, he's remembering back to the original calling in his life, and he knows he's on a race. You know, sometimes we'd have to, I can't remember what, I think it was a 500, and a 500 was 20 laps in a race. That's a long race for a swimmer, because you're conscious that this is a race. So it's not just a leisurely workout, I'm going to swim 20 laps, which is a lot to swim anyway without touching the bottom. Touch the bottom, I think that's a disqualification. So, but you think about this, it's a long, you got to kind of pace yourself, you got to follow through, and you got to save something. You know, he's kind of trying to say, hey, I'm ready for this. I know that this is part of what the journey is for me, and I'm going to follow through with it. I'm ready to be bound or to die, all for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going back to the original calling. You see, he knows he's supposed to testify before all of them in Jerusalem. He knows he's supposed to go on to Rome. So whatever happens in Jerusalem, he hasn't gotten to Rome yet. You see? So he's not freaked out. He hasn't gotten, it's not over. And he knows it might be difficult. Check this out. I don't normally pay much attention to punctuation, but in this particular verse, it's very important. So when he would not be persuaded, and what does it have right there in your Bible? Now, when he would not be persuaded, do you see it? Some of you have good eyesight. There's a comma, right? We ceased, comma, saying, comma, the will of the Lord be done. Read it fast. So when he would not be persuaded, we ceased saying, the will of the Lord be done. Easy to run through it quickly and think, hey, we're just not going to even talk about the will of the Lord anymore because this is just going to be a nightmare. You know, you can easily, I know people that go this way, they don't really want the will of the Lord anymore. Because it might be difficult. It might be a struggle. It might be awkward. Might have to work at it a little bit. Stay in the game, brothers and sisters. That's what this message is all about. Stay in the game. Be vigilant. Stay with it. This is not for wimpy lightweights about their view about God and it's all fluffy, you know, cotton balls and nice days, you know? That's not what it's all about. The Christian experience is wrought with difficulties also. The greatest thing is that one day we're going to be on the other side, right? That's the greatest thing, right? One day we're going to be on the other side. No more pain, no more suffering, no more tears, no more sorrow. When we were worshiping today and I was thinking I've decided to follow Jesus and I was thinking about, you know, just the worship songs and I was thinking about Paul the Apostle because I knew what was coming. And I'm thinking about, man, this guy kind of just took on the known world at the time in the Lord. Not of his own accord. Not of his own accord, but in his heart, he took on the known world. We're freaked out. They take on our neighbors. I'm talking about just sharing the gospel. I'm not talking about going to blows with anybody about anything. I'm just talking about think about this. Paul's walking up these steps to these big pagan things and saying, these are not God's brethren. Some people have given up their children to these gods. They were willing to sacrifice an awful lot for their worldly gods. And someone stands on the steps and goes, you know what? These aren't gods. There's only one true living God. I mean, you think about it, that's radical. But this is the kind of guy we're talking about. But it wasn't him. It was the Holy Spirit. It was God wanting to do a work through his life. God wants to use all of us. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need what comes from the work of God within us. But brothers and sisters, as you know, because we mention it often, we're not called to be bumps on pickles. Just sit there and, well, I came to church, did my Christian part. Born again to what? Born again to what? To no purpose, no direction, I'm born again. Born again to what? It's talking about the newness of hanging around doing nothing. Born again to a new life. The newness of life in Jesus Christ. This is what's so exciting to me when I read these things. I love this because it's so much the heartbeat and the pulse of God. When he would not be persuaded because he knew in his heart what God had ministered to him through Ananias, when the Holy Spirit spoke to his heart, he knew that. He knew his calling. He knew God saved him for a purpose. He knew God had a reason and a direction. And we look at this and we say, he wasn't going to be persuaded, comma, we ceased. We spoke our piece. We said what we needed to say. We delivered what we felt like we ought to deliver to him in the warnings and the encouragement, hey, you don't have to do this and all that. We ceased talking about that and started saying, this is really what it, the way it reads, it renders that way, and started saying, the will of the Lord be done. Do you say it with the same kind of intensity of this? The will of the Lord be done? Sometimes we can say it like this. Well, you won't listen to me. God help you. The will of the Lord be done. You know, you won't listen to what my counsel on it, so... Sometimes we don't always know what's in the heart, what God's doing in a life. And to pretend to know certain things might be a bit presumptuous. Now, in saying that, we have to talk about something because you could get sideways on this and go way off the path. So we're going to bring it right back to center, okay? We're going to stay on the right course with this thought. Because this thought is, this is about the direction and the leading of the Lord. God's direction and his leading in circumstances and situations. It is not about someone in rebellion against God or God's purposes. Paul is not in rebellion. He's not going against God's purposes and plans for his life. He's not wanting to just go run around and sin and do whatever. That's not what we're talking. You see, you got to keep the thought in the context. If you're wanting to sin, then the conversation is going to be a little different on this topic, you see? But when it's a direction and a leading of the Lord, and I really believe God's calling, you know, I'm glad that Nathan Matfield is down in Oaxaca, Mexico, and is riding his little donkey and his motorcycle, and an enduro motorcycle all over, going out into the hill country and reaching indigenous people work. And I'm glad Harold is going down there to help him. I am. I'm glad. I have a burden to help Harold get to what God's called him to do. I'm not called to go to, that's Harold's race. He's part of the team. I'm supportive of what he's doing as a team member. But that's his race to run, right? And we want to encourage him in what he's doing. Now, I could say to him, Harold, they'll take your head off down there. That could happen. They could shoot you. That could happen. Because, see, you get up to these indigenous people groups and stuff, you see, even the Mexican government doesn't have any real rule over them. They live in their own rules. And whatever they decide is what goes. Who are you going to trust? We're going to trust Jesus Christ. We're going to trust by faith the leading of God. Now, I could say that and give good counsel saying, Harold, you got to be really careful, man. Because what I'm saying is truthful. Those things can happen. But if God's called him and that's what he's supposed to do, I need to say, so be it. The will of the Lord be done. May the will of the Lord be done. Now, I could share my two cents in a situation like that, but ultimately, we all want to yield back and just say, but the will of the Lord be done. In other words, you and I can't. We have limited direction sometimes for others when it comes to the guidance and direction for individual lives as believers. We want to say they're on a journey. My whole thing that I always encourage everyone, stay on the journey. Just stay on it. You know, don't veer off the path. Just stay on the journey. It doesn't really matter where you are in the journey. Just stay on the journey. That's the exciting part of it. The will of the Lord be done. Look at verse 15, and then we'll just close it up with here. And after those days, we packed and went up to Jerusalem. I love that, just as it ties in to verse 14, that they didn't blow him off. They didn't blow him off. They gave the counsel, right? They said, man, we're not sure about this. This looks pretty intense, pretty risky, whatever. They share all that. But then when they realize, man, you know what? This is part of the purpose and the plan. It's part of the calling. This is what God's doing in his life. And you know what? They not only helped pack the bags, but they went on with them. Don't emotionally check out on one another. Don't spiritually check out on each other. Check in. Stay with it. We're on a race. Individual, yes, but part of a team. And we want to fulfill that joy in the Lord. God, the Bible says, has grabbed a hold of your life and my life for a purpose. What's the purpose? To just do whatever you want? The old sloppy agape grace for everyone, and we just live and do whatever we want, and you know, I'm saved, you know, and you know, I mean, is that what, that's certainly not what it's about, right? It's about living a life set apart to the purposes and plans of Jesus Christ. Is now, in your view, suffering possibly part of God's will? I couldn't say anything but affirmatively that it very well can be a part of the Christian experience and part of God's will. My Lord and Savior Jesus Christ suffered that I might have everlasting life and that you might have everlasting life. Sometimes there is suffering, but it's okay. The benefits far outweigh. Paul was used to pen a good portion of the New Testament. He certainly experienced great heights, if you're willing, in usability within the kingdom, wouldn't you say, in that sense? God really honored that he followed through, even though it might have involved, God honored that. God also seemed to always take care of them all the way along the route, didn't he? Always took care of them. There wasn't, you know, a time where they really weren't taken care of. Some way or another, God seemed to work something out and take care of them. And then, not only were they taken care of, but until God was done with that life on earth, he seemed to pretty much watch out over them too. Things might have happened to them and affected them. Yeah, he got beaten and stuff, but he didn't leave the planet. He didn't die and leave the planet physically until God was done with him, until his witness was complete here on this earth. And the Bible declares that about every believer. Till our witness is done, we can run like the wind. Go, go, go. It's a life of faith. They also experienced tremendous comfort inside themselves, didn't they? They were at peace with the fact, well, hey, we're just going to go and yield this to the will of the Lord be done. You know what? There's two things to think about with that. One, they could know that if Paul's off a little bit, God's bigger than Paul and can correct him. They know that he was on his way to Damascus one day to persecute and kill the people that were believers. God got his attention then, didn't he? God forbid them to go into certain travels, and then they were traveling with him when all of a sudden, you know, Paul got this vision of the guy of Macedonia and said, come on over here and hang out with us. And, you know, they've watched. And so they say, hey, you know what? We'll yield to let God be in charge. The will of the Lord be done. But they're not saying it in a vindictive or, hey, you should have listened to me. You're going to get what's coming to you, so the will of the Lord be done. You know, I mean, you should have listened to me. You know, there's none of that going on. It's just, hey, we're with you, bro. And we're going to see whatever goes down. We're trusting God. You know, if we're going for it, we're going for it. And we're going to see what he has in store. And he's going to give us that, really, that peace in our hearts, that comfort knowing that it's God's plan. Faith is a challenge. It goes against all of the natural makeup of our thought process. And I see faith being exercised through this whole 14 or 15 verses we read. I just see faith being exercised. Paul, believing by faith in what God ministered to him years before about his calling and his purpose, and he's going to be true to that. I see faith being exercised by these other guys trying to warn in the spirit, and then faith being exercised saying, hey, we yield to the work of God. You see, a lot of times we stop short and we cease saying, the will of the Lord be done. And we stop short. And why do we do it? Because we're fearful. We're fearful of the unknown and what might come down. Perfect love casts out all fear. Faith is the antitype to fear. Faith conquers fear. We've got to step out by faith and trust God. May that be yours today. May you know that in your heart. May you know that suffering can be part of the Christian experience. We don't wish that for one another in that sense at all. But it can be. Struggles can be a part of it. And it doesn't mean that there's something wrong with your walk. It doesn't mean that you've missed it or somehow. It could be part of your journey. And it could be part of God's purpose and plan for you. Stay on the journey. Stay with it, brothers and sisters, because one day we're going to get to the other side. And I guarantee you it'll all be worth it. No more asphalt, streets of gold. Hi, this is Pastor Jim. Thanks for listening today. And I know that some of you may have a tug on your heart that the Lord's just kind of speaking to you personally, and that you'd like to give your life to Jesus, or maybe like to give your life back to Jesus. Well, this is your opportunity. This is your time. Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. Jesus desires to have fellowship, personal relationship with us. And so he stands at the door of our hearts and knocks. He loves us. He doesn't force entrance into our lives, but he wants you to open the door and invite him in. And so I want to give you an opportunity right now just to pray a simple prayer of faith. Again, it doesn't matter whether you're driving or you're sitting at home or you're out on a walk with the earbuds in, whatever it might be, but this is your opportunity to give your life and get back to Jesus, or give it to Jesus that you might have everlasting life. He wants to spend all eternity with you, and he wants you to have life abundant. So if you would just pray this simple prayer with me, Jesus, I want to invite you into my heart to be my personal Lord and Savior. I want to ask that you would forgive me of all of my sin. And I pray, Lord, that you would just take my sin and my old life and just give me a new life in you. I thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. I thank you for the new life that I have in you now. And I just ask that your Holy Spirit would come into my life and fill me to overflowing, that I might accomplish your purpose. Lord, that your will would be done now in and through my life. I give my life to you. I thank you for the new life I have. And I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you prayed and received the Lord into your heart today, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us or another Bible teaching church in your area so you can be encouraged in your new journey. If you'd like more information about Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, simply visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. If you're in the Kansas City area and you'd like to join us for worship, the service times and directions can be found at calvarychapelkc.com. It's been great spending time with you today in God's Word, and we look forward to you joining us again next time on Living Fountains.